Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. When a person is physically abused, it can easily be identified because we see the scars, the bruises, black eyes, signs of broken bones. However, what about a person who was mentally, emotionally, and/or verbally abused? The signs are not easy to spot. We don't recognize the symptoms because we don't know what to look for. Mental, emotional, and verbal abuse leave scars on our minds, our hearts, our emotions, our feelings, and our thoughts about ourselves and others. Lynn Berghorn, author of Spirit of Love, experienced mental, emotional, and verbal abuse for over 20 years. She offers insight, compassion, and a roadmap for anyone caught in the cycle of abuse. Lynn worked as an international flight attendant, a model, a volunteer for cerebral palsy at a children's hospital in London, taught Sunday school for children with special needs in Cincinnati, and now the author of Spirit of Love. Barry Berghorn is Lynn's husband, assisted in the publishing, now is speaking on behalf of Lynn on her heartfelt memoir, Spirit of Love. Barry, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm glad to be here.
I know you're excited about this project, the memoir that Lynn has written, and we'll get into detail on that during the course of the program, some of her lovely poetry as well. Let's talk about her desire to work for children. This happened, when you lived in London at the time?
Well, that really began when we first moved to London and got married there. We lived a block away from the Cheney Center for Cerebral Palsy. And Lynn would go there four times a week for about 3 hours a time to be with the kids there and to help them through whatever they were doing at the time. About 3 or 4 weeks into the her volunteer effort, they asked her to take care of Michael, who was 4 years old and really could not help himself too much. So they asked if she would try to teach him how to eat with a spoon and a fork by himself without help, and then also then to get dressed by himself. So she spent the rest of that year doing that, and by the end of the year, he was feeding himself. He was still having some difficulty with his clothes. But that was the beginning of her really great interest in helping children in need. Another thing that occurred in London is our next door neighbor, Kitty Gordon Hill. She's 90 years old, and she was a wonderful lady. And Lynn would go over there almost every day at 4 o'clock and help her in her home, sort things out, get things right. And then they would sit and have a talk and sometimes even a glass of wine. Those two circumstances were really the background of what made Lynn into the poet that she was and what she pursued. When we moved to Cincinnati, she was volunteered for school classes in the morning, in first grade class in particular. After a couple of weeks, a third grade class teacher came to her and asked if she wouldn't do a program with the kids called Magic Circle. The reason being that their children at after school would get in arguments and fights in third grade class, and that was very bothersome to the teachers, of course, and to the parents.
Yes.
So Lynn said yes, she would. She would do a program called Magic Circle, which was devoted 1 hour a week to teach the kids how to be kind to each other. And then the poem she wrote about it is called Magic Circle. If I may read it.
Yes, please.
It's thoughts and secrets, boo-boos and troubles, laughter and sneezes, even hugs and squeezes, memories and warm feelings, your gifts to me, notes and drawings, treasures I'll always keep. You've made me feel important, dear children, with your kind and caring ways. Always remember your magic, listening and talking, sending love all around the circle. I'll never forget you. That was to the children, and each one got a copy of that poem. And then she wrote a poem to the parents, and that is called Our Children. And the parents, of course, were key to her thinking on how the children could better improve.
Yes.
Says, "Our children, we're here to protect, to guide them along life's troubled way. They're not ours, they're God's. It's just with us they stay. Our children watch us, regard your language, use model gentle actions. Discipline with kindness, never hit a child. Ugly words cut a life. It's with love they best can learn. To begin each day with a grateful prayer helps our humor and our patience. With love, our children return home to God." That was very key in terms of her wanting to be helpful to kids in need. Then, of course, the old lady's experience of Kitty Gordon Hill in London, where she helped her every day, got Lynn into hospice. So she wrote a poem about a lady who she was caring for 3 days a week in hospice. The poem is called Mrs. Riley's Bird. "Several times a day, a little bird visits Mrs. Riley. He sits on her window ledge, rustles his wings to say, 'Hello.' He's Mrs. Riley's bird, a sweet 'Hello,' sung several times a day. All the better because he's free. Free to fly, free to stay away. Yet each day he comes, he sings 'Hello.' Mrs. Riley's smile welcomes him. Laying in her bed, she turns her head, she says, 'He's here, a little bird, Mrs. Riley's bird.'" In some regard, Lynn told me that she felt like the bird was kind of like the Holy Spirit coming to cheer up Mrs. Riley
Oh,
every day.
yes.
It was a wonderful experience.
She is a wonderful poet and really captures the essence of the message that she's talking about in dealing with the young people, dealing with the neighbor, dealing with the person in hospice. She really can read emotions well, can't she?
Yes, very much. She could really understand when people needed help. And that was really critical to her writing poetry, because so many of the poems she wrote was about help and about God and about taking care of things properly. So it was an important thing to her. The area of her worship really came from the standpoint of when she was alone and she would feel either up or down or whatever, she would go off to by herself and sit and communicate with God. And she did that on not a frequent but not a regular basis. And it was very important to her because she felt that God was actually showing her the way to do things. And she wrote a couple of poems about God and her and his help for her. The first I'll read is Dancing with God. "I danced with God today. He's a wonderful dancer. Hands touching, moving, swaying. We didn't miss a beat. As we danced, I prayed. My hands tingled. And more than leading me, God was loving me. Together we did a dance of praise." And the other poem that I would like to read concerning that is Trust. "Having opened myself to your redeeming love, each day dawns with hope and anticipation for a journey of promise and surprise. My soul feels quiet as my eyes take in the many beauties and gifts all around me. The anxiety of change subsides as I trust you. Placing ourselves in your hands simplifies and improves all things. When you work through us, our lives become fulfilling, our sleep more deep." She really believed that God helped her along the way.
I mean, that's amazing poetry, and the way she's able to relate to people with her words. And poetry is a real art form to be able to express yourself in poetry. Obviously, she was very talented at that. Did that come easy for her in writing poems?
Well, it's, These it seemed to come naturally to
Yes.
her. When things would happen, and she would focus on them and say, "You know, I'm going to write a poem about that." And then and she would write a poem about that. A couple of experiences, if you don't mind, I'd like to
Please.
read about. One was called Precious Delivery, and it had to do with a children's home society. They were a group of people in the Bay Area in California who would go to South Korea and pick up a baby that was not wanted by the parents to bring back to San Francisco to give to parents who wanted to adopt a baby. And it was called Precious Delivery. And this is a poem that she wrote about her experience. Limousines, chauffeurs, pink and blue balloons, an opening, no, a delivery, a very special delivery from Korea to San Francisco, a little bundle of joy via the Children's Home Society. I presented a baby to happy adopting parents. They shared their gift with me. A greeter, an adoption greeter, the star shone bright around that slice of life. Walking down that concourse, holding that sweet infant against my breast, I felt a part of an incredible day. International adoption greeter, Children's Home Society, thank you is what I say. So that's the kind of a experience she had that would really help cement her love of doing something for family and children. There also was a time when she would review her diary when we lived in London, and she came upon an experience that I would like to read for you
Yes, please.
called Royal Ascot. Royal Ascot was a horse race that occurs every year in June in London, and while we were there, the Queen actually had a horse running in that race. And it was a really dress you up old timer way, like in the
Oh, yes.
1925s, and have a major party. Royal Ascot is the poem. Spinning my kaleidoscope, memories play like notes of a tune. Royal Ascot in June. My dear Audrey, my fair lady, me like you, it was deja vu. Pleasing parasols, peekaboo, floral flocks, flirt, top hats, bowlers, oh so British morning suits. A race, a picnic for a queen, Ascot, Windsor, a fashion scene. Jockeys parade, blue and red silks. We place bets with the punters. Accents, dress, horses, the bets, scones, strawberry jam, clotted cream. Friendly toasts of bubbly champagne. Oh, look, the Queen Mother is seen. With a gracious wave, her sweet smile wands our way. My quill imprints the sparkle of the day. My kaleidoscope spins a romantic play, an English reverie, a golden memory. It was incredible because she and I were standing on the walkway that what led from the stands to back where the horses and the jockeys would get together. And as we were standing right next to this walkway, the Queen and the Queen Mother walked by us, and we could literally reach over the little rope and touch them as they walked by.
Amazing.
That was such an incredible experience, and of course, it can't be done today because of the way the world is.
Yeah, it's a whole different world now, isn't it? When you used to be able to get close and interact with people, and if you got binoculars now, maybe you can, but that's about as close as you're going to be able to get with somebody. So that time in London was really a special time for both of you, wasn't it?
Yes, we really had a wonderful life together, and we would share these experiences. And when she would write poems about it, would help me just as much as it helped her.
Well, I would think that because there's a soothing way with poetry, isn't there? You can say something verbally, you're not quite sure how it's going to be accepted, the tone, everything. With poetry, you really can read what's there, and it's done so well in Lynn's case that you're quiet, you're reflective, and you're thinking about what she just said and how she was able to put that together. Our guest on the program is Barry Berghorn. He is here representing Lynn Berghorn, and Lynn is LynnBerghorn, if you're Googling. The book Spirit of Love we're talking about now. She did the poetry book, The Eternal Flame. Has that been published as yet?
Oh, yes. It was out in the market in June. And a press release was made in June about the release by their publisher. So it's been out there for a couple of months now. And I have been getting some calls from people, and it's been an interesting time.
Well, I'm sure it's an exciting time to have her work out there and being accepted the way it is, Spirit of Love, and the poetry book, The Eternal Flame. If you go to Amazon and check it, in fact, we'll have the links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Lynn was really devoted to helping people. Talk a little bit about that. It seems like she got a great satisfaction out of helping people. She not only helped that person, like the young child who was learning to eat with a knife and fork, it sounds like she got about as much out of it as he did, didn't she? She really enjoyed helping people.
When we got back to the United States from London, everywhere we lived, which was quite a few places, she would immediately work with the school, with kids in their classrooms, and do whatever volunteer work they asked her to do. And she would also then teach Sunday school to the kids kind of be a guide for them for their religious experience. So those things were, with her whole life, and she did those things all that time, and would often write poetry, as I've already read, about situations that occurred during that experience. So it was a lifetime of wanting to be with children in need and help them however she could. She also participated in hospice over that long period of time, trying to help the old ladies in remembrance of Kitty Gordon Hill from London.
Yes.
So those things really did follow her whole life.
And in the book Spirit of Love, where she's really very honest about what she went through for like 20 years and helping people maybe going through a similar set of circumstances, talk about that and the satisfaction she's gotten over the years from helping people, the things that she discussed, the items she discussed in Spirit of Love. But she was very honest, wasn't she, in what she went through and how to take that bad and turn it into something good in helping other people.
Well, she obviously would have time by herself. And that was very important time, because that was the time she would reflect on what she was doing and how she was doing it, and to make decisions in her own mind as to how she might do things better than she currently was doing them. And she would focus on those things and then ask God in their private situation to help her, to show her the way that she may do the right thing at the right time, and that he would help guide her. So she was very, very much aware of wanting help from God in these situations so she could do the right thing with the children and do the right thing with the ladies in hospice.
She has helped so many people throughout her life by her works and by her art, the writing that she has done, Spirit of Love, and just out The Eternal Flame. Barry, what do you hope that she, let's take the book Spirit of Love. What does she hope? What do you hope the takeaway will be for readers when they read that? What do you hope will be, how will that benefit their lives?
Well, what I really hope is that people read the book, because I think it'll help them. It will increase their understanding, I believe, of children in need and of ladies that need help, of people in general, also of the praise of God. So I think that she really would love to have the book read by people as a way that they can be helped to get in touch with God and to look to God for help. That would be a very important thing that she would wish for.
How about the eternal flame? You've read some beautiful poetry that's in the eternal flame. What do you hope? I mean, that really can change a person's attitude, can't it, when you read that the gentleness, the honesty of the of her poetry?
Well, she was just an absolute honest person. She would say to people what she believed and what she felt. Most of the time, it was wonderful. Sometimes I'm sure there was some criticism involved, and it probably wasn't that wonderful for the person. But she really believed that that her role was to help people to understand things and to help people look to do the right thing in their lives and to be the right kind of person. So she constantly was thinking about that and trying to do things to help that happen. Very important to her.
Well, and you're helping now in getting this message out. What has this been like to, what a legacy that she's left with the books and the good that she's done literally worldwide, internationally, as well as in the United States, the book Spirit of Love and, of course, the Eternal Flame. What's this like for you to be able to spread her message, to take message out to the message out to a whole new audience?
Well, I truly hope that many, many people do read the book, and I know that she would hope that people with children would read the book, people obviously who are Christian would read the book, people would look to her book for some guidance along the way. She would hope for that, and that her book would be successfully read, not for her sake, but for their sake. She was very adamant about that, that she wrote the poem for people. She didn't write the poem for herself. So that's kind of what, you know, she dreamed about. And at the end of the day, she wrote a poem or two about that very thing. Waterfalls is one of those poems. It's, if I may read it.
Yes.
As the sparkling water cascades over the boulders, a beautiful waterfall's form. In the dazzling sunlight, I let my worries and cares roll off my shoulders. I see their insignificance as I look at the beauty, the awesomeness of nature. I feel God's caring, loving hand in play. I have only to ask him, and I will never carry my burden alone. And she also wrote what she felt about God, and that poem is called Hymn to God. The soft melodic melodies in my poems express the thoughts I wish to share with you, secrets from my heart. Each day I sit and listen and pray to be inspired to hear the things I need to know to enlighten me and diminish my fears. My pen, as if from dictation, takes the message you convey for me and others to help along life's way. But who will hear this message apart from me, I ask? Is it my destiny to deliver the music of poetry? Of this I know so little, so in your hands I place my trust, and my poems will fall from heaven wherever you think they must. And that is truly how she felt about it, in terms of her love of her poetry and hoping that people would actually get God's blessing from reading her poems.
Very well written, very well delivered. If you're doing the audio book, you need to do the audio for that. Very well done in reading her works. And I've got just a few seconds left here, but I know that her favorite Bible verse is Proverbs. Do you happen to have a copy of that or know off the top of your head what that was?
I do. This is her favorite Bible verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And she really believed that. And that's why she would spend so much time during the course of the week in meditating and thinking about that very thing. It's how she felt her life should be better by following the paths that were laid out for her.
Barry, the time has gone by so quickly, and I really appreciate you being here and sharing what Lynn has done. The one book that we talked about at the beginning of the program, Spirit of Love, and then the new book that's out there, The Eternal Flame, that's the poetry book that's just been released. You'll find all of those when you go to Amazon, and Lynn Berghorn, it's Berghorn, Lynn with an E, Lynne. And I'd like to thank Octorum House for arranging the conversation with Barry today, empowering authors, crafting excellence, your ideal partner in the journey toward literary success. That's octorumhouse.com. Barry, it's been a pleasure having you on the program to talk about Lynn and the remarkable job she did through her one that job. Job indicates some work involved in it. She loved what she was doing, and it was a part of her life to be able to help people and to motivate people. Thank you for sharing all of this on the program today. A pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you so much. It was a great pleasure being here, and I'm so glad that you've accepted Lynn's book and have been publicizing it to the market that you serve. I think that's just wonderful, and I thank you for it.
Well, it is our pleasure, and what powerful messages that she leaves behind, and we thank you for delivering that during the course of the program today. The books, once again, Spirit of Love that we talked about, and the poetry, The Eternal Flame, both are available wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America, and there's more on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.